This podcast of the Swain Event is brought to you by InsureFit RM. For all of your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call InsureFit RM at 865-684-4900.
Touchdown or Turnover is backed by Alcoa 10 Federal Credit Union, a place where you belong.
Touchdown Turnover, backed by Alcoa 10 Federal Credit Union, the place where you belong. This segment will be about Dan Mullen. So let's make Touchdown Turnover about Dan Mullen. Touchdown Turnover, Dan Mullen will be the coach at Mississippi State in 2018. The reason why I'm asking this question is because Dan Mullen's been trying to leave for a while now. Florida said no twice. They decided to go in a different direction twice. And he has not been able to find a landing spot for a while now. This is the year where there's going to be a lot of openings. But is the opening going to be worth moving for Dan Mullen? He's making a lot of money right now. A lot of money. Like 4.5-ish. He's making a lot of money in Mississippi State. So his move is a little tricky. Because, yeah, you may move to a bigger school, maybe. But if you're getting paid less than Mississippi State, is it worth it for Dan Mullen? I don't know. So Touchdown Turnover, Dan Mullen will be the coach at Mississippi State 2018.
To me, as of this second, knowing what we know, that's a touchdown for me. I think he will be back at Mississippi State. I think they give him a nice little incremental raise. He gets called by different schools, whoever it may be, your Texas A&M, your Arkansas, your Tennessee. Those schools would be dumb not to contact him. But I just think that ultimately none of those opportunities become advantageous enough for him. And I think those schools, he might be worth it, but you would definitely be taking a risk if you gave Dan Mullen $6 million. That's a lot of money to pay for Dan Mullen. And so all of those factors and everything that's weighing in, I just think there's enough good options out there that outside of Dan Mullen that I think he ends up not finding another landing spot.
I'll say turnover. Turnover because I think Dan Mullen is going to have his name in the headlines enough with this Tennessee job, maybe a couple other jobs that he lands somewhere else. Nick Fitzgerald is a junior. What else are you going to do with him in one more season? You've already developed Dak Prescott through 4 years at Mississippi State. What else can Dan Mullen do in Starkville is my question. I think he's starting to ask himself that as well. So I'll say turnover. He's going to be elsewhere in 2018. Not saying he's going to be here, even though I would not hate it.
I mean, looking at the coacheshotseat.com, Bielema, Kevin Sumlin, these guys are in some trouble. If it's not Tennessee, who would it be? I don't know if Kevin Sumlin's going to be back next year. I think he may step away. Who knows? But they can throw big money at Dan Mullen. Arkansas, I'm not sure about Arkansas. Florida, they just don't want to go Dan Mullen, it seems like, man. You know, you hear things about Frost and Chip Kelly. We'll see if they go Dan Mullen here. I don't know what jobs are going to be open, man. Remember, we thought Notre Dame was going to be open. But Brian Kelly, he's a great coach, man. He had a bad year last year, adjusted, and look where they are right now. Even though they lost to Miami, man, they had a great bounce back year with a lot of academic restrictions that they had to recruit under. This is a tough question. Why did I ask this question? Why is it so tough? Okay. I think he's going to be back, Mississippi State. I think he'll be back. I don't know what job other than Tennessee and Texas A&M will pay him enough that would be worth his time to move. That's going to help him deliver a championship that has the resources.
I'll tell you, a program is just not available right now, but I think we've got a nasty breakup on the horizon between Jimbo Fisher and Florida State. There's a lot of nasty going on there, not only in the football program, but in the personal life of Jimbo Fisher, that is creating a lot of distraction.
Jimbo needs a fresh start.
Yes, he does.
It would absolutely have to be Jimbo choosing to leave Florida State. I think we've talked about it before.
Very close to be doing.
His buyout is $39 million.
He's very close to doing that.
Yeah, I've heard. He is not incredibly happy down there in Tallahassee, so.
It's gonna be a fun, silly season of coaching. Not for Tennessee, because, again, coaching searches for Tennessee stinks because, God, it's so much smoke that you got to try to get through and find out the truth. I'm not a big fan of the Tennessee coaching searches, but it's fun to watch other teams go through their coaching searches. All right, so Dan Mullen. This is the good things about Dan Mullen. We know he can develop talent. When you look at the Darius Slays of the world, him being one of the top corners in the league, developing him as a freshman, you look at Dak Prescott, who could not throw with accuracy as a freshman, was just a pure runner, and the development of him. You look at other players on defense, offense. Dan Mullen develops talent. When you look at the cycles there at Mississippi State, you know, 2-3 years, and then boom, he's threatening people. That's because when he gets them as freshmen, he develops them, and then when they're juniors, seniors, they're experienced enough to go win, to go compete against the 4- and 5-star heavy football teams because he has developed them to that level. So he's a great developer. I like that he has a little to him, a little to his, you know, he got a little attitude. He can toss it back a little bit if you need to. He can handle a big fan base. He can handle a Tennessee fan base.
Without a doubt.
I like that. I really do. He is not only a developer of talent, but he's a specialist on one side of the football. He's a former coordinator. One thing that always didn't sit right with me with Coach Jones is as much as he promoted being a wide receiver guy, our wide receivers weren't that good under Butch Jones. And he really made Coach Z look worse than what he was. And Coach Z had to take the criticism because his boss was the wide receiver guy. And Coach Z was unfairly criticized. You don't go be a wide receiver coach in college and get a phone call from the NFL without ties. Coach Z had no ties to Chicago, no one from Tennessee, no, not a Tennessee guy, not one of Coach Z homeboys, didn't work at Chicago like a Derek Dooley got the Cowboys job. They identify Coach Z as an up-and-coming receiver coach that they needed for their guys. So that just tells me that, man, Coach Z, he's not as bad as people thought he was. And it took me a while to kind of figure it out. When Kevin Beard got here, man, Coach Jones would take over drills. I don't know who coached receivers more, Coach Jones or Kevin Beard.
I don't think it's close.
So, Mullen coaches quarterbacks, he develops quarterbacks, and he's a specialist on one side of the ball. He's an expert on one side of the ball. You look at Will Muschamp, defense. You look at McElwain, and I know McElwain got fired, but offensive coordinator. Did it at a high level. Worked under Nick Saban. Won a championship. You look at Kevin Sumlin, you know, offensive guy. Like, put up all these points at Houston. Put up points, you know, when Johnny Manziel was there and all that stuff. You have a specialist. Butch Jones, out of all the coaches in the SEC, he really didn't have that. I mean, you look at Stoops. Stoops was a defense coordinator at Florida State. So, those are the pros. The cons, man, Dan Mullen doesn't get along with defense coordinators, man.
That is my biggest holdup when I look at Dan Mullen as a whole, is that his attrition, specifically in the defensive coaching staff, is not good. He's been able to hang on to his offensive coordinator. He has a huge hand in calling plays himself because he has a history as an offensive coordinator. Obviously, he was Tim Tebow's offensive coordinator and Tim Tebow's quarterback's coach also. But yeah, on the defensive side of the ball, I believe in the last 3 years, they've had three different defensive coordinators.
Eight DCs in 9 years.
Ooh,
eight DCs. Remember, he publicly ripped Jeff Collins, who's the head coach at Temple, left Mississippi State to go to Florida. That was a really ugly breakup there, but eight different DCs in 9 years. That's not a good number at all. That's not good. So he has an issue with defensive coaches. He doesn't get along with a lot of his defensive coaches. There's a revolving door. That's a concern. Tennessee has – you have to weigh the pros and cons and make sure that the pros outweigh the cons. That's like a lot of decisions that we make in life, right? I mean, you know, the speed limit is 40. But if I get 55, I mean, I can get there sooner. But, man, my bank account is low. I don't know if I can afford a ticket. But, man, if I'm late – I mean, we do that every day. We weigh the pros and cons. Tennessee will have to weigh that as well with Dan Mullen. They'll have to weigh that with any coach. I think any coach we can poke holes in. I don't think Dan Mullen's a slam dunk. I think he's a really good football coach. That Tennessee should, again, vet, weigh the pros and cons. And they need to find out why Florida passed on him twice. That's something to look at, too. But he's a good football coach. I think he can win here. He could develop talent, and he would be great on the football field. We know Tennessee is a unique job. It takes the right fit, and they got to make sure Dan Mullen is. If John Gruden decides to say no again, I wish John Gruden stopped flirting with us. Hey, man, say yes or no so we can get this thing going. We will talk to Quincy Avery coming up next. Mentors, coaches, quarterbacks across the country. You want to know why Josh Dobbs instantly got better after he stopped playing in Tennessee and he went on to the NFL Combine and Pro Day and tore it up? Quincy Avery. Worked with Deshaun Watson, Jerry Guarantano, a lot of Elite 11 quarterbacks, and he was right there in Josh Dobbs' corner for 4 years here in Tennessee, and he has a lot to say. And we'll ask him. We'll talk about it coming up next. Swain Event.
Hour 2 of the Swain Event is brought to you by Premier Surgical Associates. Visit PremierSurgical.com to find out about all the procedures and services they offer to help you live a better life. Premier Surgical Associates, expertise you can trust.
Alco Attend Federal Credit Union, a place where you belong.
Alco Attend Federal Credit Union has helped people save money for almost 80 years, whether it's free checking, financing a vehicle, or purchasing that new home. Alco Attend is here to help you. Better rates, better service. Check them out at atfcu.com.
Alco Attend Federal Credit Union, a place where you belong.
Member NCUA.
When you're out running around shopping for all your holiday gatherings, don't forget to grab the Mrs. Grissom's. Mrs. Grissom's salads and cheese spreads are perfect when you need a delicious, easy meal and ready-to-eat containers the whole crowd will enjoy, like the select old-fashioned pimento cheese or cranberry pecan chicken salad or the classic Mrs. Grissom's ham salad. Select the best. Select Mrs. Grissom's. Find recipe ideas and coupons at MrsGrissom's.com.
When you or a loved one is injured in an accident, there are a lot of questions. There are medical bills, lost work time, damages. What will you do? You'll need someone who will have your back. Call former Marine Marcos Garza, 865-540-8300. The Garza Law Firm will be with you every step of the way. Put this number in your phone right now, because you never know when you or a friend will need it. 865-540-8300 and GarzaLaw.com.
Looking for a different way to enjoy the Swain Event? Then check out Swain Event TV, driven by Toyota Knoxville and ToyotaKnoxville.com. Follow the show on Periscope and Facebook Live. Don't just hear the show, see the show. That's Swain Event TV.
VFL's Jason Swain and Todd Kelly with another update on Smoothie King, the healthy alternative to fast food. Fitness blends, slim blends, wellness blends, and take a break blends are all on the menu at Smoothie King. In addition, we now have the delicious and nutritious coffee smoothies that will jumpstart your day and keep you running when you need an afternoon pick-me-up.
Swain, Smoothie King has been the place I can count on for a healthy meal or snack since 1999. They truly are a healthy alternative to fast food. My go-to smoothies are still the Chocolate Gladiator and the Chocolate Shredder with the scoop of peanut butter. Smoothie King definitely helps me keep up the demands of work and a busy lifestyle.
Man, I hear you, TK. I got to stay in shape to keep up with my growing family and all that they're doing. Smoothie King helps me stay energized and ready to meet whatever the day brings. Make the Sip by Sip program part of your life. Use Smoothie King as a meal replacement 5 or more times a week, and you'll notice the difference.
Swain, you and Smoothie King are both legit. We need to get to Smoothie King right now, Swaino. I need a chocolate gladiator with some peanut butter, and I can truly say I'm a Smoothie King for life.
Smoothie King, delicious and nutritious. The healthy alternative to fast food.
Don't forget the peanut butter.
Tis the season for family, fellowship, and food. Don't miss the holidays by slaving away in the kitchen. How about a dead-end rendition on your holiday tradition? Celebrate with a festive holiday meal from Top 100 Barbecue restaurant Dead End Barbecue. Their holiday menu offers traditional dishes with a dead-end twist, or you can choose from any of the house favorite dead-end sides. And don't forget about dessert with their homemade pumpkin cheesecake squares. For more info, contact Dead End's catering department at 865-414-9417 or log on to deadendbbq.com. Dead End Barbecue. The catering search is over.
Charlie Burris here. If you ever see me wearing a cool Tennessee-themed t-shirt on the show or out around town, I can tell you, it came from nothing too fancy. These guys have the most awesome vintage-style men's and women's t-shirt designs for all ages. From the TriStar to Sunsphere to Norris Lake, they have apparel for everything that you love about East Tennessee. And they don't just have t-shirts either. They also have blankets, glassware, koozies, stickers, and more. Find all of the incredible stuff that Nothing Too Fancy has to offer at 435 Union Avenue in downtown Knoxville or at nothingtoofancy.com. You'll love it. I promise everyone will be asking you where you got that cool t-shirt from. Again, it's Nothing Too Fancy, 435 Union Avenue in downtown Knoxville or nothingtoofancy.com.
You're listening to The Swain Event.
You want the noise brought on you? Because here it comes.
What? The noise brought on you? Because here it comes.
Just hike the ball, nut job.
Swain Event fueled by Dead End Barbecue, top 100 barbecue restaurant in America. My next guest, one of the best quarterback trainers in the country. And guys like this I have a lot of respect for because it's your love for the game. It's your love for developing, mentoring, helping young men grow. And Quincy Avery has done that in every way across the country. He's out of Georgia, does a phenomenal job. He's worked with Deshaun Watson, Josh Dobbs, worked with Jerry Guantano when Guantano was a little pup. Coming out of high school, Quincy is one of my favorite follows on Twitter. We've talked a number of times, and I want to bring Quincy on today. I've been waiting on this moment because Josh Dobbs, one of the best players in Tennessee football history, really, people don't understand how much he covered up and how great he was. And I want to bring Quincy on to talk about Dobbs and things that went on here at Tennessee last couple of years. Q, man, what's going on, man? Good morning.
Good morning to you. It's a pleasure to be on the Swain Event. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing fantastic, man. Blessed, man. So happy that you're joining us. Let's get to it. Why are we sitting here today without a football coach? What happened? Tennessee, all the talent, you know, 9-win seasons, that's great. But we know that, you know, we underachieve a little bit. And to not have an SEC win, how did it get to this point so fast, in your opinion, Quincy?
I think Butch Jones just dropped the ball a little bit. That 9-win season is probably one of the worst 9-win seasons you will ever see from a football team. There was no reason that team shouldn't have been an SEC East championship. And I think that kind of got the ball rolling. You guys had a bunch of really good recruiting classes, but the ability to develop the talent that comes in those recruiting classes has been lackluster, to say the least.
Josh Dobbs, I remember when he came in as a freshman. It was him, it was Worley, it was Riley Ferguson, and I remember everyone was, who's going to be the quarterback? Who's going to be the quarterback? And looking at Butch Jones' system and what he did at Cincinnati, I remember saying this on air, guys, don't count that number 11 out, man. He can run a little bit. Maybe not the level of Roddy Ferguson throwing the football, but he's going to get better. He's going to develop. He can run an offense. He's super, super intelligent. And we just saw Dobbs just get better and better and better to the point where at the Pro Day and Combine, we're talking about him possibly going in the second round. That's a testament to his work ethic, you as a trainer, his family. Dobbs covered up a lot of stuff, Quincy. We know that with his play, with his off the field, the way he carried himself off the football field. What's been an unfair knock of Josh Dobbs that you want to address?
I think people sometimes said he had the inability to throw the ball or to throw the ball downfield. But throughout his career, especially at Tennessee, he was put in disadvantageous situations. Run the ball first down, run the ball second down, then third and long. You're always asked to make a tough completion. Quarterback becomes a lot easier when you get put in third and manageable, second and short, or if you at least get to be aggressive on the offensive end, throw the ball on first down. It's really like Butch Jones like had a Porsche and drove it with the emergency brake on for two seasons. Like, he made he couldn't have used Josh Dobbs worse, and Josh Dobbs just covered up a lot of the things. He'd get in these ridiculous situations, create something with his legs, and then make a throw, but it shouldn't have to come to that. If he'd have put him in a situation where he could throw in rhythm or just go through simple progressions, first downs, early downs, when defenses would stack the box, he could have been a lot more successful. He saw that in big games like Florida when they get down, he has to come back in the second half. Well, he could have been doing that the whole time instead of having his coordinators call the game the way that he had them call it.
At what point did Dobbs figure out that he wasn't being put in the right positions? You know, sometimes you look at other teams, other quarterbacks, other coaches. You have yourself as a resource who from a football family, you know the game. At what point did Josh Dobbs know, okay, man, my coach is not that great? And how did he deal with that from a day-to-day basis?
I think Josh is just such a positive guy that he always like, I'll just take ownership of anything that's going on and try my best to correct it. I think any quarterback in the college system understands, like, hey, I got to be put in better situations. I don't want to be behind the sticks. I'm third and long. So he knew that. But he knew that he's not one to complain. I've seen him put in bad situations time after time, and he just takes it on his shoulders. He's probably one of the most responsible young men that I've ever met. And I'm sure you guys get to see that in all the things that he does throughout the community. He's just a worker's mentality, as talented as he is. So he doesn't pass blame. But in talking to him, you know, it's a little frustrating.
Oh, I bet, man. Quincy Avery here in the Swain event. What is the reasoning in your eyes that Tennessee did not run 7-on-7? Because I look at all the other quarterbacks across the country, and part of their development is 7-on-7. It is one-on-ones during the summer. And when you're not doing that, I just feel like we were holding Josh Dobbs back from developing that chemistry with his receivers that's needed during the season. Quincy, have you ever heard of not doing 7-on-7 and one-on-ones during the summer, man?
There's not one school in the country that doesn't do 7-on-7 except for you guys. I'll tell you what, I know, in fact, Georgia Tech does 7-on-7, and they run the option in the summer. So that just gives you a gauge on everybody else in the country is doing one thing and Butch Jones is doing the other. But I think one of the reasons that he doesn't do it, and we see that in his coaching style, is he lives a life out of fear, not out of being aggressive. When you're aggressive, you don't get scared that somebody might get hurt because it's life, it happens. But that's just the way he coaches. You saw that in the Florida game in Florida a couple of years ago. He coaches out of fear. And you get things like that happen when you coach scared. You can't be that type of person.
Quincy, when you play this game, you can pick up on things. You can pick up on body language. You can pick up on, you know, interaction on the sideline. It seemed like sometimes the guys did not run through a brick wall for their coach. Why?
What was it? Vanderbilt last year was a great example. They lost the game, and who's the one guy who doesn't go do an interview after the game? He doesn't take accountability, so you don't want to play for a guy like that. It's like the coach up there at the Giants. When they act like they don't have the answers or they're never responsible for anything, then the players want to do a lot less for you so that you can be successful. Just no one wants to play for somebody like that. I'm sure you've seen it. You get to go around there and kind of see how they interact with them. And he's not just a genuine person. So all those things add up a bunch of guys not wanting to play for you.
Well, that Vanderbilt game, man, you know, Tennessee loses that game. It was a heartbreaker. I mean, Sugar Bowl's on the line. A lot of people were upset. But I think a lot of people gained so much respect for Josh Dobbs because they threw him out there, man. He answered every question. He was more accountable than the head coach.
I think that's a testament to that guy as a person. I mean, he just doesn't flinch. You put him in a bad situation, just head up, chin up, and he keeps going. He goes to work. You can look back to the first game that he ever should have been traveling on, that Florida game way back when they go on the trip and they don't bring him and stuff like that. He just keeps his head up, knows he has to get to work and keep working. And I think that's why you've seen such a regression of him as a player and as a person throughout his matriculation at Tennessee.
Quincy Avery.
He never gets you down.
Oh, sorry about that. Quincy Avery here on the Swain event. I could tell Josh Dobbs felt like he was being, you know, criticized unfairly. And as a player, when you know you're not being put in positions to be successful, when the culture is not bad and you're getting some criticism, you want to say, hey, man, this is what we're playing under. This is the culture. This is the atmosphere here. But you can't do that if you're a player because then you get yourself in trouble. And Josh Dobbs, to clear out that noise and to not listen to some of the criticisms that he received, he decided to block a lot of people on Twitter, and I think maybe some fans didn't like that, but I understood why Josh Dobbs did it, because he can't explain himself. He can't defend himself, because if he defended himself, he would have thrown his coach under the bus. So he was in a really tough spot, Quincy. I will say, man, I've been unblocked, man, so I'm happy about that.
Well, that's good to hear. No, but I mean, what do you want somebody to do? He's 20 years old, and you got a bunch of people saying things, are shouting comments at you, and you can't respond. I mean, do they want him to get cussed out when they say something that doesn't make sense, or when their lack of football knowledge shows, and he's like, well, what do you want me to explain this to you?
Exactly.
I would have done the same thing and actually recommended that he did block him.
Yeah.
It's just helpful. I mean, you don't need that in your mind going throughout a week. You know you're doing everything you can do, and you're balling. In all actuality, and then people might see one play or two plays and make a negative comment.
Yep.
No need to add that in your life.
Yeah, I agree, man. That's why I would be up, especially like 8 o'clock games, and the game would end like 11:30. I found myself up 1:30, 2 o'clock over here defending Dobbs on Twitter and saying, guys, you don't understand how much he means to this football team. You're gonna miss him when he's gone. His accuracy is improved. He is the heart and soul of this football team and this football program right now. Quincy, you are involved with a lot of quarterbacks across the country, not only quarterbacks, but the other players across the country, high school, in the recruiting game. What is the recruits, what are they saying about Tennessee, and what have they been saying about Tennessee over the last 12 months?
You know, it's interesting. Everybody loves the atmosphere at Tennessee. I think some of the things that happen just throughout not only Tennessee but the conference, from a quarterback perspective in terms of playing at a place like that, you go through and you just search any quarterback's name after a game that they didn't win, and the fans from that school beat them up tremendously. So quarterbacks are starting to think about things like that as they start to go through the recruiting process. How do they want to handle which school they want to go to? Because throughout the SEC, you see, and it's just like, I'm not sure if I want to deal with that. So that's interesting. But then the skill position guys, they love it. But they're a little nervous about playing for Butch Jones, who's no longer there. So I think a few of the guys who are committed now are kind of a little holding pattern to see what's going to happen, who's going to be the head coach, what style of offense or defense they're going to run. So it's going to be interesting. I got a few guys that I know that are committed there. Haven't talked to them a bunch about the situation, but I kind of want to see how they handle it.
When you said that quarterbacks look at, you know, some of the criticism that some of these current quarterbacks are getting, you know, after playing a bad game, how do you as a quarterback trainer talk to them about, you know, the line between, yes, you know, you don't want to get that every game, but mentally being tough enough, because I'm pretty sure these top quarterbacks, they have dreams of playing in the NFL, And the NFL level is really no difference, probably 10 times worse as far as criticism, because you're getting it from ESPN and NBC Sports and Fox Sports. I mean, guys are, you know, I mean, guys are killed. You look at Cam Newton. I mean, he poots wrong, and golly, I mean, they're ripping him. You know, I'm serious. They're ripping Cam Newton. And so my question is, how do you as a quarterback trainer kind of say, hey, guys, it's part of the job. It's part of the position of being criticized.
Right, so it's a bit what you signed up for, in the reps that you get doing this are going to be valuable to know in if you get the opportunity to make the NFL.
Yeah.
So I try and get them to understand that it's actually a great thing to be on that stage and people who care that much where they want to talk about you. But there's also things you can do to control it. You can take your Twitter off during the season. You can block people if you'd like. Whatever you need to do to get through it. But at the end of the day, are you resilient enough when the game starts Saturday at whatever time that you can go out there and do your job?
You said resilient.
Yeah, that's kind of triggers people here.
You triggered me, Quincy. You said resilient.
Oh, that's a butchism?
Yeah, oh, man. Yeah. Like, when I hear, like, resiliency and, like, individual, like, I get,
hey,
like, a
I
little twitch.
I didn't call anybody a champion of life. I didn't say I want a five-star heart.
Yeah,
I
in his
say,
defense,
you know,
he could have done much
worse.
All
right, I'll just tell him to be a little tougher, all right?
Say that. I'm messing with you, man. Go ahead, Charlie.
Well, Quincy, I got a couple questions here. First, you mentioned blocking people on Twitter. Josh Dobbs notoriously did that, like, a lot. Did he ever, like, talk to you? He's blocked me two different times, actually, personally. Do you ever, like, talk to you about that, or did you guys talk about that?
I would just make jokes about it.
Really?
Just, yeah, get your Dikembe on. That's
right.
Major, though.
That's right, man. That's right. Sometimes you got to do that, man. Sometimes.
Yeah.
He doesn't, I mean, it's not, like, a big deal to him. It's not like he thinks about it too long. Like, oh, see something he doesn't like? Go ahead and block it.
Hey,
yeah, that's fair.
Hey, I mean, it's your Twitter, man. If you don't like it, then do it.
Right.
Man.
You don't get it. You can see
triggered.
What you want.
I should
you
do it more.
Message.
Yeah, I should do it more, Quincy. We should do it more, man. No doubt.
No, you got to do what you got to do. But just so since Butch has been gone, kind of this flood of sort of horror stories about Butch has come out. So I'm just wondering if what your direct interactions were with Butch, if you had any. There doesn't even necessarily have to be, you know, a real serious answer about this if you just didn't interact with Butch much, but I'm just wondering, what were your interactions with Butch Jones?
A few times. Butch has recruited a number of quarterbacks that I trained throughout the process, so I'd have to bring them up there, sit in the office, he'd give his little recruiting pitch, all that, and then after the game, sometimes I'd be with Josh and I'd see him. Nothing too major. Didn't really have any great interaction with him. He was just a salesman when I was there with the younger guys.
What kind of salesman? A salesman that you would believe or a salesman that you would not believe?
I think if I was a high school kid and had never got recruited, I'd be all over what Butch was selling. But me having been around a bunch of different college programs, seen college coaches and how they interact, and then actually knowing guys who are in the program, I would have to pass on his sales pitch.
Gotcha. Quincy Avery here in the Swain event. Quincy, I want to ask you about Deshaun Watson, man. I'm a Bears guy. I wanted Deshaun Watson to my Bears, man. Golly, I was so hurt when they drafted Trubisky over Watson. I think both guys will be pretty good. Watson tore his ACL. There's no doubt in my mind that he's going to bounce back. He's going to be better than ever. You know, he's a model for what you want in a college football quarterback. He does it off the field. He does it on the field. Just like Josh Dobbs, you know, Deshaun just had a better coach and a better, you know, better situation to win. Man, just tell us a little bit about Deshaun Watson.
He's a super hard worker. I mean, works as hard as anybody you know. And that's what was actually great about having Deshaun and Josh together is they pushed each other so much in our off-season workouts. Just a great guy, and he's a great leader. I think that's what kind of separates those type of guys from everybody else. Your ability to lead a group of men and never get too high or never get too low, no matter what goes on, your ability to respond and adapt to the situation. Both guys, a minute and 9 seconds against Alabama needing a touchdown, that's big time right there in a national championship.
Big time.
And as you can see him on the sideline before the drive, he's laughing, he's clapping,
yep.
Dropping his mouthpiece during the drive and laughing about it, grabbing it in a two-minute drill. Like most guys, stuff like that, they're going to flinch, and he doesn't. He's no flinch. And I think when you're looking for a quarterback and when you want somebody to be on your team. Deshaun might go out and have a workout. He might not throw the best every time, but you know when the game comes on, there's going to be no flinch. He's not going to waver at all, and that's what you want as a quarterback. I could pass on some of the talent traits, but if you're that guy and you can lead my team, and I know that I can count on you every single day, every single rep, man, I'm rolling with you.
That's what Dobbs was here, Tennessee, man. Let me get you out on this last question. I mentioned when I introduced you that, yes, you work with Dobbs, you work with Deshaun Watson, but you work with Jared Guantanamo. And I've noticed a lot of Dobbs in Jared, and I know that Dobbs has, you know, they talk, they communicate. It seems like Dobbs is a mentor, big bro to Jared Guantanamo. What can you tell us about Jared that people don't know? Because the situation is really, I mean, it's really toxic right now. You know, it's really hard to judge Jared. I think Jared's a stud. But what can you tell us about Jared Guantanamo and Dobbs' relationship and what you think about Jared's future here at Tennessee?
So I got to work with Jared briefly at the Elite 11, which was a great experience. I think Jared's arm talent is some of the best you'll see. I mean, the ability to, like, throw it through a wall. I think he's going to continue to develop as a passer and just continue to mature. I saw the thing in that first Georgia Tech game, and I'm like, but you also got to see him at the same time, Josh talking to him on the sideline. So he just needs those types of experiences to continue to mature. He's a talented football player, but he's got to get put in a situation where he gets to display those talents. And it's just, I mean, it's a struggle bus over there, the way they call plays, the situations they put you in. So we don't really know how good he will be until he gets put in a situation with a coordinator who gets to call the plays the way they'd like to call the plays so he can be successful. I say that because I actually think between Bajakin and the board and Coach Scott, they might all be really talented play callers, but I think that they were hamstrung a little bit. So when Guantanamo gets his opportunity, I think he's going to be special.
I lie. I got one more question. One more.
Shoot.
Have you ever seen, during the course of a season, two quarterbacks not talk to each other on the sideline, not help each other, you know, with what you saw? I mean, wasn't that weird to you, Quincy, this season?
It was the weirdest thing I'd ever seen. As a coach, you got to be able to bring your guys together. They got to know that they're competing for a spot. And you deal with this at every position, whether it's receiver or quarterback. But you got to be able to help the guy next to you. You compete during the week, but it's got to be about your team winning and how can you guys help them do that to your best of your ability. And we didn't see that, and it was a little frightening at first. It was a sign, kind of the thing that's come for us.
Now you're right. You're right, Quincy, man. Amazing time here. I really appreciate your time. Man, you do a wonderful job. I look forward to following you and following the guys that you train and Josh Dobbs. Wish you nothing but the best. Thank you so much, Quincy, for your time, man. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate it.
You the man, Quincy Avery, man. Follow Quincy on Twitter at Quincy_Avery. And a lot of guys that Tennessee recruits, you know, he's worked with them before. You know, quarterbacks, receivers, DBs. He has a few guys committed.
And a lot of the elite right quarterbacks in the country the last several years.
Now, Quincy's the man. Mm-hmm. And the moment Dobbs finished his last game here at Tennessee was in January. And then you had the combine in February. So almost 30 days, 35 days, 40 days, somewhere around there, Dobbs went from bowl game to the combine and really outperformed Deshaun Kizer. He was impressive at the combine.
Made all the throws.
All the throws. Threw the out better than Deshaun Kizer. I was there pro day. Flawless. Flawless pro day. And I remember watching Andrew Luck's pro day on TV. And ball never hit the ground. He was in command. Josh Dobbs' pro day was the same. It was phenomenal. I was standing right there next to Coach Z. I put Z on the spot because I would do that sometimes. I'm going, Z, Dobbs sure looking good throwing the football. Man,
Probably looked at you and said, right?
Didn't see a lot of that. didn't see Tennessee. Maybe he wasn't put in the right position.
I was also at that pro day. Mike Tomlin was standing right there on the sideline, his current coach. I truly believe, because you're exactly right. I mean, he was phenomenal at that pro day.
He was lights out.
I believe that was probably where Tomlin said, all right, yeah, we should probably get this guy. He looks pretty good.
Let's get some agility in the pocket.
Yeah, man. Quincy Avery, the man. I'm pretty sure Mike Tomlin was there. Like, yeah, this place is nice. This place is real nice.
Maybe.
Man, this. He
wants to come by.
Huh.
In a more permanent sense. I don't know.
Let me talk to some folks.
No more groomers. Just, we're talking about tumors.
Just in case Ben Roethlisberger decided to retire. And I don't have to deal with Antonio Brown Facebook live in the locker room. Man, maybe I can get into this college game. Man, this is nice over here. Over here at Anderson Training Center. Man. Thanks to Quincy for the time. It was great, great interview. Swain Event fueled by Dead End Barbecue, top 100 barbecue restaurant in America. I hope what you took from that is Josh Dobbs is amazing. To do what he did, no 7-on-7, no 1-on-1s. Incompetent offensive coaching from the top. Hams had the offense coordinator's hamstrung. It's pretty dang good. Yeah. Josh Dobbs, elite company. Dak Prescott, Johnny Manziel, Tim Tebow. Now Nick Fitzgerald with running touchdowns and passing touchdowns in SEC history. Imagine what Dobbs.
Mullen coached three of those.
Well, imagine if Dobbs had Mullen. Or Dabo or Jimbo Fisher. Just imagine if Dobbs would have had that. How great Dobbs would have been and how much he would have developed sooner in his career. It's amazing, man. Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue.
Hour two of the Swain Event is brought to you by Premier Surgical Associates. Visit PremierSurgical.com to find out about all the procedures and services they offer to help you live a better life. Premier Surgical Associates, expertise you can trust.
Your car insurance.
Nobody likes surprises, so switch to Erie Rate Lock. Get a great rate that stays that way, even after an accident, ticket, or inflation. In fact, it's locked until you change a car, driver, or your address.
Your Erie agent in Knoxville is InsureFit RM. Get a quote at 865-684-4900. That's 865-684-4900.
Erie Rate Lock does not guarantee continued insurance coverage and is not available in all states.
By now, you know that Muya has the best burgers in Knoxville. Their beef is never frozen, they have all-natural turkey burgers and black bean veggie burgers, not to mention they make their buns in-house every day. But now, you can also get 100% all-beef hot dogs or, wait for it, all-natural chicken sandwiches. Trust me, these chicken sandwiches put chicken restaurants to shame. So stop into Muya and taste the difference. Located at 7301 Kingston Pike, right by Better Mattress.
Germany is at the center of European geography, politics, and economics. The mixing of cultures that shaped Germany have created a delightful cuisine that is unsurpassed. No other East Tennessee restaurant embodies Germany's rich culinary traditions better than Restaurant Linderhof. From Oktoberfest and throughout the year, you can enjoy bratwurst, schnitzel, and other fine German dishes at our restaurant or with our catering. To see the menu or learn more about Restaurant Linderhof, check us out online at restaurantlinderhof.com and like us on Facebook.
Whether you're hosting a cookout or just relaxing with your family, you don't want to be bothered by ants. Unfortunately, they are terrible this time of the year, and sometimes the problem can become worse with the over-the-counter sprays. Southeast Termite and Pest Control has a solution for that pesky ant issue. Whether you need a one-time treatment or monthly treatment, Southeast Termite and Pest Control has you covered. They offer different treatments for different types of ants. There's no salesman to deal with, so homeowners, you deal directly with the technician that provides the service, and the owners at Southeast Termite and Pest Control are available every day. Don't let ants interrupt your good time. Contact Southeast Termite and Pest Control at 865-925-3700 or online at southeasttermite.com.
If you bleed orange and your favorite song is Rocky Top, then it's time to make a trip to Alumni Hall. Look your best this season with new selections from Nike, Nike Golf, Cutter and Buck, even orange and white fashion dresses and tops for the ladies, not to mention Tennessee Yeti, and you can't forget options for the baby balls. Be sure to shop at Alumni Hall in Paper Mill Plaza, Turkey Creek, and West Elm Mall for the best selection of Vols gear anywhere, or shop online 24/7 at alumnihall.com. Hey, they bleed orange too.
No one will be selling pre-owned vehicles for less this month than Beatty Chevrolet. Find massive pre-owned savings on over 250 vehicles. Chevys, Toyotas, Hondas, Fords, Nissans, Jeeps, Subarus, and more. Save up to 50% off original MSRP. 50% off. Like this pre-owned 16 Chevy Malibu, now $13,995. And a pre-owned 14 Hyundai Santa Fe, $15,995. Plus, buy with confidence with the Beatty Warranty for Life.
Hyundai Santa Fe, stock number P62279A, Malibu, stock number P6311, plus tax activities. Subject to prior sales. Savings include all manufacturer and dealer incentives and rebates. Not all buyers will qualify with approved credit. For details.
Hey, it's Jason Swain. Gentlemen, it is No Shave Movember. Time to change the face of your health for the better. Take the first step and get your levels checked by someone you trust. I personally recommend going to the Low T Center. Low T Center makes it easy and quick, and most health insurance is accepted. This Movember, they're offering a testosterone and prostate level test with assessment for only $50. Take the first step. Call 865-392-1388. That's 865-392-1388 or go to lowtcenter.com.
Well, Dak, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence.
The Swain Event.
Swain Event fueled by Dead End Barbecue. Top 100 barbecue restaurant in America. 9:15, we'll have on Jesse Simonton of VolQuest. Talk about where do we go from here? Who are some of the names that he is hearing and what happened, in his opinion, Tennessee football? Great stuff from Quincy Avery. Notable quote there. Butch was given the keys to a Porsche and drove with the emergency brake on for 2 years.
So that's such a good quote.
And
it's
so
the
true.
Perfect description.
That's so true.
I mean, gosh, just think about the roster that Butch Jones cycled through.
Yeah.
Specifically on offense and also on defense. Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
that's so many good pieces. So bad.
So there's a report that dropped yesterday. I saw it on Pro Football Talk where Casey Rogers was gaining some interest from Tennessee, and y'all funny. Like, listen, y'all want more VFLs back on the coaching staff. But head coach, what? Wait, no, not that guy. Not him. Not to be a head coach. y'all are hilarious. And I get it. I understand. Because when I saw it, I was like, what's going on here? And
I mean, an assistant for one of the worst teams in the NFL, can we not?
Being on a bad football team in the NFL doesn't make you a bad coach all the time. I mean, that roster is terrible. GM has been terrible there for a couple of years. I mean, you can still be a good coach. Only the best of the best coaching the NFL. So I'm okay with him where he's coaching. But this was out of left field. So I start thinking about this. You know, he's former Vol. You know, I know John Gruden's out here trying to get former Vols to join his staff if he takes the job. Casey Rogers. If I'm Casey Rogers' agent, I want my client's name out there attached to head coaching jobs because that makes my client look better. It makes him look like he's a hot commodity, and it's easier to move my client to a head coaching position. And this is my opinion. I don't know this. I'll tell you if I don't know something, and this is something I don't know, but this is my opinion. I think they're just doing this to help Casey Rogers. I don't see how Casey Rogers would be a legitimate head coaching option for Tennessee right now. He's never been a head coach. He's never coached in college. He's not John Gruden. I mean, it'd be one thing if you were John Gruden. Like, we could deal with you not having head coaching experience in college and you never recruiting before. Yeah, if you're John Gruden. I don't know if Tennessee's going to go that route. I mean, if you're going to go Casey Rogers route, you might as well go T. Martin route over to Casey Rogers, because T has experience coaching college and recruiting in college. So it just doesn't make a lot of sense to take it serious with Casey Rogers being a head coaching candidate for Tennessee. I think we're doing him a solid, and this is great because he's a former Vol. We have a lot of people out here coaching. We got strength coaches, we got assistant coaches all across the country that have orange running through their blood and so or through their veins. We want to see them succeed, climb the ladder, be a head coach, and I think this is our way of helping Casey Rogers do that. I just don't take this serious. I just don't. It's hard for me to take it serious today.
And question kind of that came to me when thinking about Casey Rogers. When you see a coach who has probably put in enough time to get a chance as a head coach, and Casey Rogers probably hasn't. He's getting very close.
No, his time's in there.
I mean, he's been...
He's 15 years in the league.
15 years in the league, but only three as an actual coordinator. He was a defensive line coach for what looks like about a decade in the NFL. Or he started with the Dallas Cowboys in 03. So when you see that, is there not an inclination to like, there's got to be a reason he's not a head coach at this point, I think. You know,
like, I don't necessarily go there, but I'm more along the thinking of Jason. Maybe Tennessee doing him a solid and agent doing him a solid, because if you're Casey Rogers, if you're looking at this situation from Casey Rogers' perspective, why would you ever want to leave the league when you are literally one step away and you're coaching for someone who's not necessarily have a lot of cushion around their job security right now in Todd Bowles and the New York Jets? I mean, you're one bad performance away from potentially being an interim coach and getting getting a chance like a Chuck Pagano did, like a Bruce Arians did.
Yeah, first year being defense coordinator, and people thought the Jets were going to tank, and they have not done that. They've exceeded expectations already.
Because Luke McCown's they're protecting the football. They're 4-6,
but
Josh McCown.
You mentioned he's been a coach for a long time, and it doesn't necessarily disqualify you from being a head coach. You look at John Harbaugh, who was special teams coach for the Eagles. And then he goes to the Ravens, and then boom! Look what he's done there with the Ravens. So it's not out of realm possibility that you can go get a head coach at the NFL level, one that was just a position coach. Because the NFL, they just recycle them through. You get a coordinator who's real hot. He goes to be a head coach, and he gets fired, and then he's back a coordinator, and then he might get another opportunity again.
Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, Kyle Shanahan. You look at
Adam Gase,
Josh McDaniels. I mean, he's getting ready to be a coaching candidate again. The NFL just cycles people through. It's politics. It's buddy-buddy. And
John Fox.
It's politics. It's buddy-buddy.
There you go.
And I think this is the agent making a move to say, you know what, my client is getting interest from the University of Tennessee to be the head coach. You should give my client a look too. Again, this is just my opinion. This is my opinion. I have not heard Casey Rogers' name this whole entire time. And it pops up yesterday. And I would love for him to be at Tennessee. I want the staff all Tennessee. No one can recruit a kid better to come to Tennessee than someone who played at Tennessee. I believe that. You put me on the staff, I would be number one 247 college recruiter in the country. I would be... Because no one can sell Tennessee like someone who wore the orange. I truly believe that. No one can tell you what it's like to run through that T. No one can tell you what it's like to walk the hills of this university, to live in Knoxville, experience our fans, that Vol walk. No one can tell you better than someone who did it. So I believe that an all-Vol staff would take over college football. I think an all-Vol staff would be the best staff in the country. Because it ain't just selling. You know, Quincy Avery talked about, you know, Butch is a salesman. A lot of used car salesman tactics. Won't be any if you had a Vol staff. T. Martin telling the quarterback what it's like to play at this university. Come on, man. Dale Jones telling people what it's like to play linebacker here. Terry Fair telling you how cool it is to play DB and return punts. Randy Sanders talking about quarterbacks, Jay Graham, running backs. Come on. Montario Hardesty, running backs, Anthony Parker, O-line. We got people out here. We got strength coaches out here. No one can sell Tennessee like the people who wore this orange, who bled on that field.
If you've done sales, you know it's the easiest to sell a product when you truly believe
yes.
in that product. And the guys that played here, there is no one who believes in this product more than them.
Believe, experience, they built it. Use.
Yeah.
No one.
They built the product. They believe in it.
No one. I remember the moment it was December 2002. The moment I was like, Tennessee's a place for me. Tennessee's a place for me. I'm shutting down recruiting. It's a wrap. Tennessee's a place for me. So then I went on the recruit, the recruiting side of it. I started recruiting for Tennessee. I remember Aaron Sears didn't even have Tennessee in his top three or four. It was like Miami. It was like Auburn. And we got a chance to connect at the Mr. Alabama football banquet. It's the year Jamarcus Russell won it. Still kind of sad about that, but I get it. And I remember I was a finalist, and I was there at the banquet, whatever, and I got a chance to meet Aaron Sears. And Aaron was a U.S. Army All-American, too. So we got a chance to connect there as well. I was roommates with Tim Castile, went on to play Alabama, had a good career. But I remember when I decided to went to Tennessee and I was done. And I told Aaron, listen, if you come on a visit to Tennessee, dude, I will drive up from Huntsville just to be with you. I already took my official visit. I'm already committed. But if you come into Tennessee on a visit, I'm coming too. And that's what I did. I came up and I helped recruit Aaron Sears for Tennessee as a high school senior. And I got a hotel room right off Paper Mill. I remember. And I helped recruit Aaron Sears. And me and Aaron Sears were roommates for our first semester. And the reason why I was able to help get Aaron Sears because I believed in Tennessee. I believed. I was sold myself. You take the last three letters of enthusiasm, I-A-S-M, I am sold myself. That was me, man. I was enthused. I had enthusiasm recruiting Aaron Sears. And don't tell me a Vol staff wouldn't do the same. Come on, man. We'll have all our recruits hitting the red button when Nick Saban call. That's right, I think. 865-337-7615, hour 3 coming up.